The book of Judges is all about leaders, judges in Israel who rose up to deliver the Israelites from foreign powers. And this book has a pattern, a cycle. First, the people do evil, and they don't listen and abandon God. So then they are taken over by foreign powers and oppressed. And so they cry out to God, and God hears their cries, and God responds by raising up a judge to save the people. But once the judge dies, the people forget. And so they begin to do evil once again, and the cycle repeats. Judges uses this pattern to show the downward spiral of Israel. Israel does not learn from their mistakes, and so they repeat history over and over. Our story begins with the same pattern. Israel does evil. They are taken over by King Jabin of Canaan, and they are oppressed 20 years, the longest time thus far. And so God raises up a group of heroes, deliverers, to save them. So let us hear from the book of Judges, chapter 4, verses 4 through 16. At that time, Deborah, a prophetess, wife of Labidoth, was judging Israel. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take position at Mount Tabor, bringing 10,000 from the tribe of Naphtali and the tribe of Zebulun. I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the Wadi Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand." Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." And she said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Then Deborah got up and went with the Barak to Kadesh. Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and 10,000 warriors went up behind him, and Deborah went up with him. When Sisera was told that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera called out all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the troops who were with him, from Harosheth Hagoyim to the Wadi Kishon. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Up, for this is the day on which the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. The Lord is indeed going out before you." So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 warriors following him. And the Lord threw Sisera and all his chariots and all his army into a panic before Barak. Sisera got down from his chariot and fled away on foot, while Barak pursued the chariots and the army to Harosheth Hagoyim. All of the army fell by the sword. No one was left. This is the word of the Lord. Deborah, by far, is one of the most well-known judges. We know her because she is different, unique. A woman. She sticks out like a sore thumb in the long line of male judges. First, she is not solely a military leader. None of the other judges are called prophets. None of the other judges provide counsel. But Deborah is different. She's a prophet, wife of Labidoth. In English, we miss the play on words. Labidoth means torches. She's not just a wife, but a fiery woman, a woman of spirit. And people actually listen to this fiery woman. They come to her for wisdom and counsel. We see female prophets throughout Near Eastern tradition. We see female prophets earlier in Scripture, people like Miriam, Huldah, and Noadiah. But for a woman to judge and offer counsel and wisdom is unexpected. You didn't see women presiding over court cases in ancient times. It wasn't done. Women had little power. So to see this woman acting as both a spiritual, political, and military leader, counselor, and judge is amazing. We know she's something unusual and new. But the Bible doesn't seem to make any big deal about this. The Bible doesn't offer any commentary on how she was able to lead or what made her so special. It seems it's business as usual. Deborah gets a word from the Lord, so she summons Barak. She tells him to take 10,000 men to Mount Tabor to fight the general of the Canaanite army, Sisera. This general has iron chariots, and that was like having tanks in this day. And the Israelites don't have these iron chariots. They're against an army that has technology they've never seen before. But yet they have a strategy. Mount Tabor is strategic. It's a boundary point, a 1,300-foot peak that stands alone in a valley. God declares that God will give Sisera into the hand of Barak. But Barak surprises me. He refuses to go alone. He asks Deborah to go with him. Battle in this day and time was a male sphere. Women, even fiery women like Deborah, did not go into battle. Why did he refuse to go alone? Did he doubt he could win? Did he worry that without Deborah, all hope was lost? It's scandalous for Deborah to go. She warns Barak that his reputation will be tarnished. God will work through a woman to beat Canaan. Yet Barak does not backtrack. He doesn't discount the gifts and leadership of a woman just because it's embarrassing. Deborah and Barak charge into battle together. Victory comes at the hands of a woman, and we assume this woman is Deborah. But the story turns again. After Barak and Deborah defeat the Canaanite army, Sisera, our villain, runs away and hides in a woman's tent. This woman, Jael, was not an Israelite. She was supposedly a friend and ally of Sisera. So she tucks him into bed and gives him a glass of milk to make him sleepy. She seems like the perfect image of a mother. Well, until she drives a tent peg into Sisera's skull, killing him. The story ends up brutal. It's uncomfortable. Jael ignored the hospitality codes of this time, and the Bible doesn't say anything bad or good about it. Indeed, Deborah's prophecy comes true. God sells Sisera into the hands of a woman, Jael. Who is the hero in this story? Who is the true judge? We do not get clear-cut answers from this story. Instead, we see a story of interdependence. God saves God's people through the gifts of Deborah, Barak, and even Jael. In my head, I want to name one person as the hero, Deborah. Throughout so much of our history, we attribute victories and deliverance through singular leaders. We like a good superhero. But God does not work through top-down, doesn't just work through top-down systems. One hero, one moment. More often than not, God loves working from the bottom to the top, through the most unlikely of people. And often it's not just one person, but a web of people. In our society, we can believe that we are self-made people. We can think that we can pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, that we can do it all on our own. We can believe our independence is through our own efforts. We can believe independence means that we aren't dependent. Yet Barak wisely knows that strength comes from community, dependency, and trust. He might have been able to conquer Sisera on his own, but Barak was willing to risk his reputation, leading beside this fiery, prophetic, wise woman, Deborah. And so they lead together, trusting God. It can be easy, as we're focusing on heroes from Scripture, to only remember the grand things that they have done. It can be easy to think of big names like Moses or Deborah as great leaders just on their own. But we cannot forget all of the people who made Moses the leader he was, the midwives who saved his life, his sister and mother who hatched a crazy plan, Pharaoh's daughter who saved and raised him, his brother Aaron who went with him to Pharaoh's palace, the leaders who helped provide counsel and judgment after Moses realized the truth, he could not lead alone. I'm not sure what to make of this story of Barak, Deborah, and Jael. It's full of irony, violence, and intrigue, for sure. It's a great story, but what's the point? What is it saying to us today? First, I think it's telling us that on this Independence Day weekend, to remember that we are interdependent, not just independent. Our society, by focusing so much on independence and individualism, has created an epidemic of loneliness. I wonder what would happen if we called Independence Day Interdependence Day, too. Maybe we would realize that the work that God is doing in our world, that it's not just our efforts that bring blessing. Maybe we would be like Barak and refuse to go unless our brothers and sisters walk beside us. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. spoke of this interdependence as an inescapable web of mutuality. The ground that we walk on is teeming with life that ensures our survival. Even our bodies have millions of organisms that have the ability to sustain us. We are interdependent. So today, be like Barak. Acknowledge your own interdependence on God and others. I challenge you to follow one thread. Dig up a bucket of dirt and look at all the creatures inside. Do research on an item of clothing you're wearing. See who makes it, where they make it, and the places and people it connects to you. See if you can trace where your meal comes from at lunch. There's so many invisible people and forces that make our lives and work possible. Yes, we do celebrate the day our country gained freedom, independence from Britain, on July 4th. But even in that pronunciation, we affirm that it took people binding together, working together, to create this new country. Freedom does not ring in a vacuum. As Christians, we believe that our freedom allows us to be in fuller relationship with God, with creation, and with each other, to be interdependent. Deborah and Barak give me hope that we can find new paths of leadership. We can find new paths of freedom that call us to walk hand in hand. Deborah cried up. As we go forward, up, may we remember that we do not go up alone. God indeed is going out before us, and we are called up together. Amen.